A morning. Today's Dafin Chulas Nun Ches. We are in the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Continuing with discussion in Eilat Treifus regarding the Tarfus of birds. Although the truth of the matter is, as you're going to see in today's Daf, it moves back a little bit to the more general discussion of Treifus of animals in general, meaning birds and animals. And a discussion that really is a continuation of yesterday's discussion. Am I right in suggesting that we're at the bottom line of the Amud? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I really appreciate Stu. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, we start with a statement made by Rav Acha bar Yaakov, halacha trefa yoledes mishabachas. Okay, what can a trefa do? A trefa is going to be terminal, it's going to die. It has a defect in one of its organs, as we've been discussing now in great detail since the beginning of the parak back on Mem Beis. And so we know that it's in a terminal state. As such, as in being in a terminal state, so there are two issues that the Gemara is going to be discussing. One is an issue as to whether or not it can improve in its general condition. So that's the issue of mishabachas. Two is that if it's a female, can it in fact get pregnant and give birth? So so generally speaking, you can ask this question in general. In other words, when you know that somebody, or in this case animals, are terminal, so are they in a position where they're able to, A, improve in their general condition, and B, give birth? Well, improving in the general condition is a little bit harder to wrap our heads around, meaning it's a little bit difficult to quantify. The Gemara in yesterday's Daf gave an example of improvement to general condition. But giving birth, however, it's really simple and it's really empirical. Meaning, if an animal gives birth, so is that reflective of the fact that it is or is not a trefa? So Rav Acha bar Yaakov has two interesting positions on both of these, and that despite the fact that the condition of the animal is terminal, it is a trefa, nevertheless, yoledes umishabachas. It still has the ability to give birth, and it still can improve in its general condition. And so according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, if you see an animal that you think is a trefa, and we'll discuss in just a moment whether it's a vadai trefa or it's a suffix trefa, but we're going to be discussing more about suffix. But if you either think or know that it's a trefa, according to Rav Acha, its ability to give birth does not change the status of that animal. That animal is still going to remain a trefa. Now, Amar Amemar. So based on that, take that into consideration, as we're going to see at the end of this sugya. That's not going to be the Gemara's conclusion, but nevertheless, that is the opinion of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. And with that stated, now we go into the next statement of Amemar. Amar Amemar hainei beya de trefa. Now, let's say we have the eggs of a trefa. Now, clearly, we're talking here about birds. We're talking about eggs. Now, we all know that birds lay eggs all the time. Whether they were fertilized or whether they were unfertilized, obviously all the eggs that we consume are unfertilized eggs. They're just simply the result of the eggs being laid, but no rooster in sight, and they make sure of that, and they do not want it fertilized. And so, but nevertheless, the laying of an egg can be done whether it was fertilized or unfertilized. What if the mother is now, quote-unquote, a trefa? So now the eggs that are laid, is that going to be kosher or non-kosher? We know we have a general rule of anything which is a byproduct of something which is usser in of itself. So one would make the simple argument. Well, if the mother's a trefa and the mother laid eggs, so the eggs are also treif, meaning simply not kosher, because they are the product of their kol hayotzim and atame tame. Anything that comes from that which is usser is going to be usser itself. So honey bay de trefa, so you have the eggs of a trefa, shikla kama asira, mikanva elach, havale zevezegarim umutur. So a really interesting halacha by a Maimar, which is that if you know that the mother's a trefa, so the first group of eggs that come out, meaning seemingly a post-discovery of the trefa, so that's going to be usser, for reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment. However, going forward, subsequent to that, so then mikan ve'elach chavalei zevezegorim. Subsequent to that, then we are under the category of zevezegorim, and according to Amemar, zevezegorim is mutter. Much to explain over here, so let's take this step by step. The first group of eggs that the bird lays is going to be treif. Now, makes perfect sense, meaning the mother's a treifa, So the resulting eggs are also going to be trefer. Now, a mamer seems to also be subscribing to the idea of revacha, meaning, but what about the fact that it laid eggs? Doesn't that prove that it's not a trefer? So no. In other words, a mamer agrees with revacha. Revacha Bar Yaakov just got done teaching us that a trefer is, in fact, a yoledes. So the fact that it laid eggs is not a disproof of the fact that the animal is not a trefa, or to say it in other terms, the animal could still be a trefa, and it could lay eggs, and those eggs obviously are treif. Now, really interesting, take a look at the top Rashi over here. Rashi says, shichla kama, so Rashi has an old French word to describe that first group of eggs, first cluster of eggs. Osan sha'ayu b'meya b'shashin nitrefa kulan asurus du'ubar yerech imahu v'ima nitrefu. In other words, there are a lot of big concepts coming up in today's daf. So Rashi over here employs one of the concepts which are going to be seeing in the Gemara itself, but Rashi's using that concept to explain this, our issue over here, Uba Yerachimo, meaning how do we look at a fetus developing inside of the mother? So the way we're understanding it right now is that it's just simply an extension of the mother. The mother's treif, so it's resulting fetus. Now I say fetus over here, we're talking about a chicken, we're talking about eggs, but it's the same idea. That which develops inside is now going to be Yerech Imo, simply an appendage to the mother. And if the mother's a treif, so all of its appendages are also going to be treif. The eggs are not considered an independent unit, independent entity. And therefore, the eggs are going to be aser. Okay, that part's easy to understand. Now we get to the tricky part. Now, what happens, however, for all subsequent eggs that are laid after that? So the Gemara employs the concept of Zeva Zegorin. What does that word, Zeva Zegorin? Mikan Veilach. Look at the next Rashi. Mikan Veilachiva Zachar Gormen Lahem, Sheavo Vedava Sheisser Veheter Gamulo Shigadel. Mutter. So Rashi over here explaining now the second statement of a mamer goes like this. The subsequent eggs that come out, so how did it result? So a little bit about the birds and the bees, and here I mean that literally. So in other words, so it came as a result of sexual reproduction. So in other words, there was a male and there was a female. The female is a trefa, but in other words, but it's a fertilized egg. So where did it get its, so what is it a product of? It is a product of the mother, but it's also a product of the father. This is what in halacha is referred to as zevet zegorim. We have two causative forces that are creating this egg. One is the mother and the other is the father. Well, the mother is a trefa, but the father is not. So you now have two forces going into this egg creating the egg. This is in halacha referred to as zevet zegorim. Now, what is the result of zevet zegorim? Where one of the forces is aser, one of the forces is mutter. So as we're going to be seeing in the course of today's daf, machlokas. What do we say regarding a scenario of Zeva Zegorim? Whether Zeva Zegorim is mutter or Zeva Zegorim is aser. So a mamer obviously is of the opinion that Zeva Zegorim is mutter, and so therefore the eggs that come out are going to be mutter because there are two causative forces that make this egg, the mother and the father. Mother being a trefa, aser, father being healthy, not a trefa, mutter, the egg that comes out is Zeva Zegorim.
Okay. The first one,
the first ones are we're going to assume that the eggs develop after it becomes a trefa. So in other words, those first eggs that come out meaning the Gemara does not view that as a father's causative force. Meaning those eggs just simply developed post trefa, post the animal becoming treif. I'm going to re-ask your question without really a wonderful answer. Meaning, okay, fine, so a mamer holds of Zeva Zegorim is mutter. But in other words, but the previous Rashi, meaning we'll just have to go back one Rashi, employs the idea of Uba Yerachimo. Uba Yerachimo is a powerful concept. That means to tell me that whatever is developing inside of the mother is an appendage of the mother. So I understand that Zeva Zegorim, meaning that there is a mother and there is a father, but when all said and done, the egg, the developing egg inside of the mother, is an appendage of the mother. So Uba Yerachimo. So what's the interplay over here between Zeva Zegorim versus Uber Yerachimo? Meaning Zeva Zegorim, I understand, it's a concept. But it rubs up against here the concept of Uber Yerachimo. So, okay, so the father made a contribution to the egg. That's wonderful the father made a contribution. But the egg is developing inside the mother. The egg is viewed as an appendage of the mother. The mother's treif, the egg should be treif as well. So that's difficult. That part is clearly difficult to explain. I know it's true because Amemar said it. Amemar said it in his two statements. He said it very clearly. So how does it work exactly mechanically? The concepts of Zeva Zegorim versus the concept of Uber Yerachimo. So that part's tricky. And I'm acknowledging it's tricky. It requires a little bit of fancy footwork. Certainly not the kind of fancy footwork we have here in the DAF, but certainly requires a little bit of an explanation.
No, because it's possible the first shechla
Right, correct. 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 And then the hen becomes a trefa, yeah. And so the egg is a trefa. That's fine. But okay. Anyway, I'm just gonna. No, she developed. She became a trefa. She was, in other words, at one point in life she became a trefa. So those first eggs that come out now, just like she's trefa, the eggs are trefa as well. But the subsequent eggs, however, are byproducts of her and the father. So that's zevah zigarim, and Mamemar holds zevah zigarim as mutter. So the Gemara continues now on the top of Nunches Amad Aleph, two lines down. So the a challenge now posed to a Mamar based on a Mishnah. So it's a Mishnah, it's a Braisa, could be a little bit of both. But the Gemara goes like this. There is agreement, now agreement between whom? So you know how it works, whenever we're thrown into the Braisa, so we don't have the background, but you don't have to worry because not that far from now, we will be getting the background information. So right now, let's just read the Braisa Kipshuto. The Shavin Kibetzes Trefa, they agree that when it comes to the egg of a Trefa, Shasur Min Mishigal LeBeIsser. So it's also because it grew in Isser. So what you have over here is the Braisa saying that although previously they disagreed, we don't know who the they are, we don't know what they disagreed about, but doesn't matter for right now. For right now, all we need to know is that there is a point of agreement where when the egg grows inside of the mother who's treif, so the egg itself is treif, period. Why should God love Isser? Because it grew in Isser. Its environment was Isser, so therefore what's going to come out, of course, is Isser. Good. Very good. It's very good unless you hold like a Mamar. Right. Meaning a Mamar just taught us that Zevet Zegarim is mutter. And if there's a mother and there's a father, and even if the mother's a treifa, but the father made a heter contribution to the egg, so according to the Meimar, the eggs are going to be mutter. Zevet Zegarim is mutter. How is a Meimar going to be learning the Braisa? Answers the Gemara in defense of a Meimar. Hasam is a safna meara. So the Gemara says, we're talking about over here eggs that are unfertilized. Like I explained in the beginning, hens always lay eggs. Whether they were fertilized or not, this particular Braisa is talking about an unfertilized egg. So therefore, the Braisa over here is not dealing with the issue of Zevet Zegarim, because there was no contribution made by the father. So the Gemara says, V'lishne lei v'shichla kama. So the Gemara says, okay, you know, a Meimar, that is a great answer to defend a Meimar. Curiosity. How come we didn't just simply say that the Braisa is talking about shichla kama? The first cluster. The first cluster after the hen was discovered to be a trefa. So as a Meimar himself said, those eggs are going to be treif. So the Gemara says, im kein gadla gamra mi baile. The Gemara says, a Meimar could have given that answer, but it does not textually fit into the Braisa. The Braisa's words are gadla, as opposed to gamra. Gadla gives the indication that any eggs that grow and develop inside of it, whether it's the first cluster, second cluster, doesn't matter. Any eggs that grow inside of it are going to be also. So that's why the answer of unfertilized eggs is a better description of the Braisa textually. Masha Einkein, if the Braisa would have said Gamra, so then that would have worked out better with the distinction between the first cluster and the second cluster. The Gamra would indicate that the first clusters are going to be Aster, because they were Gomer B'Isser. And then all subsequent eggs that come after that are going to be Mutter. But the Braisa doesn't say Gamra, it says Gadla. So therefore, that's why the unfertilized eggs are a better answer. Elahadadnan, the Gemara now quotes another. Now again, Mishnah Braisa, probably a Braisa. Vlad Trefa, and the way Rashi understands it, this is really the Hemshech, or the preview to the previous Braisa that we quoted. Vlad Trefa, if we have the fetus of a Trefa, Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Lo Yikrav Lagabe Mizbech, Rabbi Shuar, Amar Yikrav, a question as to whether or not it could be offered on the Mizbeach. Now, ostensibly, what they're arguing about is not whether it's kosher or not kosher, but just simply, does it meet the high level, the high requirement of the Mizbeach? And so we have a machlok between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Lazar is saying it's no good, and Rabbi Yoshua says it's fine. Now, b'maka miflagi. So the Gemara says, now, what's at the root of the machlok is over here? Misha nitra falusof ibra. It becomes treif, and then afterwards, the animal becomes pregnant. Rabbi Eliezer suffers zevet zegarim aser. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that what we have over here is two contributors to the fetus, the mother and the father. Mother, of course, being treif, father being not treif. And Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion zevet zegarim is aser. Now, interesting, the Gemara is going to make this point in just a moment. What comes out now is out, and we're not really having a debate regarding eligibility for the Mizbeach. We're really having a debate of, is it kosher or is it not kosher? And so why are we talking about the Mizbeach if we're having a more basic discussion? So the Gemara is going to raise that point in just a moment. But Rabbi Elazar suffers Zevazegarim Asar. Rabbi Yeshua suffers Zevazegarim is Mutter. So the Gemara now puts basically the issue of Zevazegarim at the center of the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar being a Machmir, and Rabbi Yeshua being a Meiko. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, great. That's the machlokas? Fine. I accept that. Here's what I don't accept. Why are they debating about whether or not it's going on the Mizbeach? It's a much more basic debate over here in terms of whether it's kosher or not kosher. So the Gemara answers, Lo dicha kocha de Rabbi Yeshua dafilo gavor namishari. So the Gemara says, no, of course they're really debating over its basic kashrus. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not kosher. Zevazegarim is usher according to Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, when there are two contributors, mother and father, mother's treif, father's not treif. And so the resulting fetus, according to Rabbi Yeshua, is going to be usher, because Zevazegarim is usher. And Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, says it's kosher. Zevazegarim is mutter. Why are they having a machlokas legabe the mizbeach? Just to accentuate Rabbi Yeshua's position. That even Rabbi Yeshua is going to say that not only do I hold it's kosher, it's glot kosher. I use the term here loosely. It's glot kosher. I can even use it towards the mizbeach. So the Gemara says v'lifigul lehejot. So the Gemara says okay. So lo dicha kocha de Rabbi Elazar dafilo hejot nami aser. Okay, so great. So you want to show off the position of Rabbi Yeshua. Why don't you show off the position of Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer holds, you know, it's treif. Not just treif legabe the mizbeach. Treif. It is just simply not kosher. And so why don't we accentuate Rabbi Elazar's position? The Gemara gives the answer that it gives throughout Shas. Koach tehetera adif lei. The Gemara says, look, if I have a chance of accentuating either a more machmer position or a more mekel position, accentuating the mekel position is adif lei, it's preferable. Why is it preferable? So we always go back to the Rashi in the beginning of Masechta Beitza. Rashi over there writes, Daf Beis or Daf Gimel. Forgive me, I forget which daf, but it's one of those first two dapim. Rashi over there writes that it's always better to accentuate the more permissible position, because to be machmir, so I could be machmir. In other words, to be machmir just simply means I may or may not know the halacha, and if I don't know the halacha, and I'm a yerushamayim, so I'm just going to be machmir. So being machmir does not necessarily mean I hold this way. It could also mean I'm unsure. However, when you're mekel, obviously if you're taking a mekel position and you're yerushamayim, so that means that you really know your halacha, and you're confident in your halacha. So therefore, it's always better to accentuate the more mekel position, koach le'atera adif lei. The Gemara continues by quoting now the next part of the Braisa. Umodim ebeitzas trefa shasura. Oh, here we go. So in other words, now we know the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. It's in the context of a vlad trefa, and now here's the modim, here's where they agree. So they disagree as it relates to an animal. They agree regarding an egg. Umodim ebeitzas trefa shasura. So the Gemara says, b'desafna ma'ar d'chad garim ho. So the Gemara says, okay, but we already know the pshat. The Gemara now is just reviewing for us what the pshat is. How can they agree regarding an egg? Oh, it's very simple. Because it's an unfertilized egg. With an unfertilized egg, that means there's only one contributor. It's only the mother. There is no father. There's no issue of zevazegarim. And so therefore, beitzas trefa is treif. Very simple. Rav Acha, savalak Rav Acha by Yaakov, umasni le'la memer kedamaren. Now, as far as the Amora Rav Acha is concerned, let's not try to get too confused, but Rav Acha the Amora agrees to Rav Acha by Yaakov, so that means there are two different Rav Achas, so he agrees with Rav Acha by Yaakov's premise that a trefa is, in fact, Yoledes, and so therefore, how is he going to learn the brises that we just learned? He's going to learn them the way we just did. Good. Now, Ravina, on the other hand, lo sever like Rav Acha by Yaakov. Ravina does not agree with Rav Acha by Yaakov, meaning, according to Ravina, the trefa is ina yoledes. So now that a trefa is ina yoledes, so now we're going to go back to the brises that we just learned, and we're going to have to now say a new pshat. So Ravina l'savala k'ravacha b'yakov v'masni le'la da'amemar b'hai lishna. Amra memar. And so now, once your starting point is that a trefa is ina yoledes, so where do we go from there? So we say like this. Hani be'a d'safik trefa. So let's say I have now a egg, which may or may not be a trefa. D'shichla kama mishahinan lu. So here's what we do. With that first cluster that came out, the mother may or may not be a trefa, I don't know. And look, in other words, right now, these eggs are just simply a byproduct of the hen pre-trefa status. Fine. Now, the hen may or may not be a trefa. Let's say it suffered a fall, or we go into any one of the cases that we discussed earlier. It may have gone through a fire, whatever the case may be. We don't know. If you do not agree with the Rav Acha bar Yaakov, so you know what would be a wonderful case study to see whether the bird is or is not a trefa? If it lays subsequent eggs. Because if it lays subsequent eggs, that is proof positive that the mother is not a trefa. Oh, good. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. Ihadra v'tana sharyan. So now if the hen decides, if the hen actually lays eggs once again, so now not only these eggs are going to be mutter, but the first cluster of eggs are also going to be mutter, that by virtue of the fact that it laid eggs, is proof positive that it's not a trefa. The ilo asirin, but if it's unable to lay eggs again, so that means to say that the animal now is a trefa, and obviously, I was going to say these eggs, but there's no eggs to talk about, but the first cluster of eggs are also going to be asir as well. Ezra Ravashul Amemar, so the Gemara now challenges. Amemar based on a brisa. A brisa now that we've seen already numerous times in today's daf. Umodim bebeis trefa shasur, mimnei shagad labeisr. They agree by that by a base of a trefa that it's also because it's God labeisr. So Amar Lay, Hausam is a Shikhla Kama. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's talking about Shikhla Kama. Now remember, we are now working with the position that a trefa is Ina Yoledis. So what are we talking about over here? How can the trefa hen even lay eggs? So the Gemara says we're talking about the first cluster, meaning the mother formed the eggs inside of her pre-trefa. Then the mother becomes a trefa. These eggs come out. There are not going to be any subsequent eggs coming out. So im ken gadla gamra mi baile. So the Gemara says, now remember, we made this point earlier. Textually, it's not so satisfying. Textually, if we're just talking about those first clusters and no other subsequent eggs coming out, so the better language of the Braisa should have been gamra. By virtue of the fact that the Braisa says gadla, that means any eggs that grow inside of it. So Tini Gamra, so the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to edit. Again, we can't edit, but the Amorayim, when they have certain positions that they take, and there is a word in the Braisa that goes against it, so they have this ability where under certain circumstances, limited circumstances, so they can edit, and over here, so okay, so Gamra. Yes, it could have. Elahadanan, the Gemara says, okay, but now what about the other part of the Braisa? Vlad Trefa, Rabbi Lazar Malikrov, Lagabe Mizbech, Rishu Amar Yikrov. And here we go now, round two. In the Braisa of, what about the fetus? We're not talking about chicken, we're talking about an animal. What about the fetus of a Trefa that is born? Rabbi Lazar says, Lo Yikrov, and Rabbi Yeshua says, Yikrov. B'maika Miflagi. Kishi Ibra Lasof Nitrefa. So what happened is, first the animal got pregnant, because again, we are now operating the second half of this amud under the position that trefas eino yeledes. So there's no way that the mother could have even conceived if the mother was a trefa. So what happened? What must have happened, therefore, is that first conception, then the mother becomes a trefa, and now Rabbi Lazar suffer uber yarchimo, Rabbi Yeshua suffer uber lav yarchimohu. And so now, what's the nekuda machlokis? So no longer is the nekuda machlokis zevet zegorim. It can't be zevet zegorim, because the mother becomes a trefa after conception. So what happened over here is that we're having a debate regarding, at the center of the debate is whether or not the fetus developing inside of its mother is considered an appendage of the mother, or it's considered an independent entity. According to Rabbi Eliezer Ubar, Yerech Imo, and so that means that the fetus inside is really just but an appendage of the mother, even though its conception occurred before the mother was a trefa. But because now the mother is a trefa, and because the fetus is considered an appendage of the mother, so therefore the fetus itself now is going to get the status of being a trefa. If, however, you hold Ubar lav yerech imo, so the way to view it in Ubar is that it's an independent entity of the mother, obviously connected to the mother, obviously, but still halachically viewed as an independent entity. And so therefore, even though despite the fact that the mother's a trefa, the fetus is not going to be a trefa. So the Gemara says, again, that's great. That's good pshat in the Braisa. Why are we having a discussion of carbon and mizbeach? Have the more basic discussion. But I'm going to read this quickly, as we all know the Gemara's answer. Why are we having a discussion of Mizbeach? Have a basic discussion of Kashrus. I'm sorry. The Gemara says, "V'lifugu be'ejol adicha kochah the Rebbe lezer koch de tera adiflay." We want to accentuate Rabbi Yeshua's position that not only is the resulting fetus going to be kosher. Again, I'm going to borrow the term I used earlier, glatt kosher, meaning not only can we eat it, but the mizbech can eat it as well. In other words, there's no pagam in it whatsoever. It's totally legit. Umodem vada bebeitzah treifa shasura. So the Gemara says now, what are we going to say regarding the egg of a treifa that's aser b'deshichla kamai? So we're talking about its first cluster that came out. So my taima, so gufahi. So the Gemara says, well, when it comes to an egg and its mother hen, so even though Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua had a debate of whether or not we say uber yerchimo, uber lav yerchimo, that's regarding a fetus, an animal fetus of its mother. There we can have a halachic debate whether or not it is an appendage or an independent entity. But when we're talking about eggs, it's really hard to separate the egg from its mother. The egg is not, I mean, the egg is an appendage, but the egg the egg is not its own living organism. In fact, the living organism is in the egg. Again, depending on whether it's fertilized or not fertilized. But the egg itself is really just but a piece of the mother that obviously is going to separate from the mother. But halachically, however, although we can have a debate of uber yerachim or lav yerachim by a fetus of an animal, we really can't have the same debate regarding a chicken, regarding the hen. And so therefore, there's going to be agreement between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua that when it comes to the egg of a hen, we say that it's gufahi, it's part of the mother, and therefore it's going to be aser. V'hilchasa. And after a lengthy discussion, an amud of discussion, nun chesam ad aleph, of chulin, is totally dedicated to the topic of whether or not a trefa can in fact progenate or can't. So the Gemara Hilchasa, the Gemara arrives at a conclusion. So if we're talking about a male animal, so Yud Beis Chodesh. Now, Rashi over here, really important Rashi over here. Now Rashi has said this consistently. And Tosfos quoted this Rashi earlier. Rashi over here says, when we say the Hilchasa, we're talking about what specifically? V'hilchasa b'zachar, b'safik treifa. See the Rashi? V'hilchasa b'zachar, b'safik treifa. In other words, we are unsure whether or not the bird is a treifa or not a treifa. In other words, if we have certainty that the bird is a treifa, so then we can't look at its life and longevity as a proof or disproof that it's a treifa vadai. We're discussing over here cases of suffix treifa, and now, if it's a suffix treifa, we are unsure. Something occurred that led us to think that it's a treifa, but we're not sure. So what do we say the halacha is? So the Gemara says, for a male, which obviously cannot give birth, so therefore Yud Beis Chodesh. Since the event of it may becoming a treifa, it lasted for another 12 months, it's not a treifa. When it comes to a female, so then birth, meaning if it gives birth, if it conceives and able to give birth, so that's proof positive that it too is not a treifa. Okay, that brings us to the Gemara's conclusion over here regarding the status of a female animal in its ability to give birth, a machlokes amongst the Amorayim, whether or not trefa is yoledes, ain't a yoledes. We started off the morning with Rav Acha bar Yaakov Seifa saying that trefa is in fact yoledes and mishabachas, but the Gemara quotes Ravina, who does not hold like Rav Acha bar Yaakov, a trefa is ain't a yoledes, and the Gemara sides with Ravina that a trefa is ain't a yoledes, which by the way, comes out to be a kula, because now in the event that a female animal is a suffix trefa. So by virtue of the fact that it has given birth, it has now proven, she has now proven, that she is not a trefa. Amar Rav Huna, we are on the bottom of Ninchesim and Aleph, continuing a discussion of animal life and trefas. Amar Rav Huna, Kobir Yishim Bo Etzem, Enim Iskai Miud Beis Chodesh. So the Gemara over here has a statement of its reality, meaning in Bizmana Gemara, and also you have to remember that we're talking about, you know, their observations of creatures that lived in their area. So anything that does not have a spine, so basically any kind of insect, right? Maybe reptiles have spines, but let's insects, worms, so anything like that. Kol be'er shembo etzem enem eskayin yud beis chodesh does not live for 12 months. Now, amar papash mami nam derav huna. Now, where can we go with that halachically? Great. In other words, we're not... This is, you know, not, this is not National Geographic. So this is halacha. This is Gemara. So where do we go with that halachically? So Einam is kaimu de Beis Chodesh. Amar Apapish Maminam de Ravuna. Had Amar Shmuel Kisha Shidliya be Avia Asura. So Hani Tamar Dechad de Labasu Treisa Yachishasa Shayan. So we go with the following halachic comments of Rav Papa based on Ravuna. Now, so in order to understand and appreciate this, so you need to know a little bit of background information. Okay, the idea of eating a worm, right, as my kids have taught me the old joke, what's worse than finding a worm in your apple? So finding half a worm in your apple. Okay, that's the joke reported to me by my children. So the, So Rashi over here points out as follows. It's not appealing to any of us to eat worms and or anything that grows inside of a fruit. However, the halacha as brought down in the Gemara in Chulin, in fact, we're going to see this at the end of our perek, is that the only sheretz that's asur is sheretz ha-sheretz al ha'aretz. The worm has to have been on the ground. Now, ground does not literally mean that it has to walk on the ground. Ground over here, we could use the English word grounded. As long as the fruit that was connected to the ground and the worm grew in the fruit that was connected to the ground, that worm becomes asur. However, if the worm develops inside the fruit after the fruit is detached, so now it is not a sheretz or sheretz al ha'aretz, and it's going to be mutter. Now, no one's going to thank me for that heter. No one's going to come over and say, that's wonderful. So happy to hear that. The worm developed after the apple was detached from the ground, and now I'm allowed to eat the worm. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. No, I'm not going to get any appreciation for that. I understand. However, the obvious question is, how do we know? How do we know when the worm developed inside the when the fruit was attached or detached? So over here now, we use the statement of Rav Huna, and it allows us then to make the following conclusion. And that's where the Gemara took us from the bottom of the Amud to the top of the next Amud. I'm rereading Rav Papa. Amar Rav Papa Shmamin Amud Rav Huna, Had Amar Shmuel, Kisha Shi Liya Be'avya. Let's say I have cucumbers that were infested with worms. If the infestation took place while it was attached, Asura, because those worms were grounded. However, Hani Tamar Dekada Labasa Treisa Yacha. But let's say I have dates. Now, dates are dried fruit. They can hold for a long time. And let's say I had them in the basket for 12 months, and now I discover infestation. So then, Sharyun, it's going to be Mutter. Because I know that the longevity of these worms are not going to be more than a year. And because they were detached from the ground for more than a year. So that means now that I put those two pieces of information together, and therefore the conclusion I arrive at is that this infestation took place post-detachment. And therefore, these worms are now going to be mutter, and you're welcome. In other words, so you can now eat these cucumbers, or in this case, these dates, with the worms inside of them, and please enjoy. So Anitamar Dekan Labasa Trace Yachashasa Shayan. So I'm a Rav, Lays Baka Bar Yuma, Vlays Didve Bashasa. So Rav says, and let me give you some other natural phenomena. When we have this baka, the baka is the type of insect, so it doesn't last for a day. And didva, we'll translate it as a fly, but again, in other words, it's hard to relate what we think of when we think of these insects and what necessarily they thought of. It could be different species, it doesn't matter. So whatever they had back then, the diva does not live for a year. Now, what about the old expression? Now, the Gemara over here, what are we going to do with those points? So again, we could do with it what Rav Papa did with Ravuna's points. In other words, if you have an infestation of these particular insects in detached fruit, and you know that the detachment was longer than its lifespan, so then it's fine. Okay. So the Gemara says, what about what people say? And the Gemara now is going to quote, so old Babylonian folklore. Now, this is things people said back in Bavel. Now, things people said back in Bavel, these are when you sit around, older people, so they have experience of life and they have wisdom in which to impart. So this is the wisdom of the B'nai Bavel. Not exactly, they're not quoting a pasuk, it's not a chazal per se, but it is chazal because it's wisdom that made its way into the Gemara. And the expression goes like this. Now it's going to sound a little bit funny to you and I, but it's experience and wisdom that's talking. What about what people say? So Ami Inshi Shevshni Imre Bakasami Baka. So for 7 years, So this insect, the female insect, basically was cold to her male counterpart. In other words, they were not intimate with one another. Why? Damrele, because she made the following accusation to him. Chazisa bar Mechuzah, you know, I saw you hanging out with the wealthy people from Mechuzah. Now, this is insect conversation, but obviously it's allegory. So the Chazisa bar Mechuzah desasa b'maya. So I know where you've been. She accuses her mate. You were with the wealthy Mechuzans. Who were in the bathhouse, got out of the water, v'salak v'ichrech b'sadinan, wrapped themselves up in a towel, v'isvesalah, and then what you did is you sat on the mechuzah, and the mechuzah were wealthy people, and so they were overweight. And she's now talking to her mate, and she says, and you took advantage of the situation, and you clung on to that mechuzin, umatzos minei, and you sucked the blood, v'lo hodatali, and you didn't tell me. So basically, you hoarded all the good stuff for yourself. Now, it could be, by the way, that this is social criticism against the people of Mechuzah. However you want to understand the folklore, but the point, of course, is that how can they even have a discussion of these gnats being abstinent from one another for 7 years? They live a total of one day. So Amalei v'letameicha d'Aminich, so he says, okay, but I'll match your folklore with my folklore, and that's the following. There's another expression. Shisimani parzalei talu lelebeka. Do you know that this little gnat that has a sting, so do you know what it has in its sting? It's got 60 mana of iron in its sting. Now, mana already is a considerable weight. 60 of them makes it even more considerable. That's how much weight they have in their sting. Bikornase. So mi ika, so the Gemara says that they don't have that. So ihu gufe kamahava ella bimani didhu. So the Gemara says, look, obviously over here what we're talking about is relatively speaking. Meaning for an animal that small, wow, that sting really hurts. So relative to the size of the gnat, that is some sting. Granted that when we speak with hyperbole, and that's fine. But in other words, but understand though that we're only talking relative to the gnat. So achinami Mishnei didhu. Same thing over here. When we're talking about the conversation between the male and the female gnats and her accusations against him, and they were abstinent for 7 years, it means relative to them. In other words, they're a day in the life, and for them, a life is a day. So a day in the life for the gnat. So basically, again, in the folklore, that just simply means a considerable amount of that day. They were abstinent with one another. Tanan Hassan, we continue now. Yeah, that's right. That's another Moser Haskel from the Gemara. Tanan Hassan, the Gemara over here, continues a discussion in the Gemara with a Mishnah in Becharas. An animal that has either five legs or three legs is considered a blemish. Now, the Mishnah Becharas is really interested in eligibility for the Mizbeach. We, obviously, in the third parak of Chulin, we're interested in Treifas. And so the Gemara now is going to take the Mishnah in Becharos and now translate that over to us in Treifas, in El Treifas. I'm Rav Huna L'Shan Olala Shechisa V'yasa B'yad. Yes, it's only a physical blemish if we are talking about an additional or lack thereof of a foreleg. Ava Chasa V'yasa B'regel Treifa. But if you either have an additional back leg or a missing back leg, so that is a treifa. Meaning it's not just a mum that will disqualify for the mizbech, but it is in fact a treifa. Treifa nami havia. My time, I call yester kenato dami. And so the Gemara over here now gives us our next big concept of today. In other words, at the end of the daf, I'll gather in terms of how many big discussions we had today's daf, how many shas topics were covered in today. So here's another big one for today. Call yeser kenato dami. When you have an extra appendage, it says if it is missing. Now, when I say it is missing, what do I mean when the it is missing? So Rashi over here, really interesting Rashi, much discussed Rashi. Kenato dami, Rashi writes, I underlined it. Yeser echad kechaser echad. V'havia kebalas regel echad v'treifa. The way Rashi understands it is that an extra is like it's missing, meaning let's say, for example, there are three hind legs. The way Rashi understands it now, how many legs are there now in total halachically? One. By virtue of the fact that it has an extra leg, So obviously that extra leg, forget about that extra leg, but that also takes away its counter leg. So that means to say that really three legs, in Rashi terminology, comes out to one leg. And that's like a dislocated leg. We learned earlier in this perek that when the femur is totally out of the socket, and we talked about also the ligaments as well. So when the femur is totally out of the socket, that is shmuta, and that is going to be treif. So here, the way Rashi understands it, when the animal has three legs, so three really means one, which means that the animal is missing a leg, and that is the same as being a shmuta. That's Rashi's understanding of kol yeser kenato dami. It's not the only understanding. There are other ways. The other ways of Rishonim understand it, but it's a really interesting Rashi, and that for our daf today is sufficient. It's not enough, but it works in terms of pshat. Hauchi used to have a tarte sanya divi. So there was an animal with two sanya divis. Remember, it's not the first time we talked about the sanya divi. Anatomically, it's referred to as a cecum. It's at the end of the GI tract of the animal. It is basically filled with excrement. And the Gemara's description of it, sanya divi, the wolves hate it. Understood. Because it's full of excrement. And so when they get to that part of the animal, they don't eat it. So what if the animal now has two cecums? So Isol the Ravina Vitarfa, so Ravina says it's treif. Vitarfa midar Rav Huna. So it's treif because of the rule of Rav Huna. Meaning, because what does an extra one mean? So two means zero. Again, we're learning like Rashi. The Isha of Chanla Dadik Shera. Now, if the two sikkums, however, there is communication between these two sikkums, so it's not really two sikkums. It's one sikkum, it's one Sanya Devi. And therefore it's going to be kasher. Hai gufta davanafka mi bekasal ovlila. There was a tube that connected the Besa Kosos and the Hovlila. Hovlila is the Aramaic word to describe the hemsis. So this is stomachs 2 and 3 of the animal, of the ruminating animal. And so there was another tube connecting them. And so Savar Rav Ashi Limitrafe. And so Rav Ashi says, another tube connecting them? Oh, that's no good. So he thought it was treif. Amale Rav Huna Bar Rav Chila Rav Ashi Kolhani Chivri Briyasa Hachi Islohu. You gotta go around, you gotta see more animals. This tube, this additional tube connecting the base of costus to the hemsis, it's normal. Hahu gufta dahave ma'avra mi bekasa la karsa. So there was an additional tube connecting the base of costus to the karsa, to the cava. And, to the keras, to the rumen. So savra ma'avra vashalach sharei. So he thought, okay, so it should be kosher. Meaning, the additional tube connecting stomach 2 and 3 was okay. So if there's an additional tube connecting the keres to the basic costus, that's also fine. So Amalei Ravoshi, Atu Kula Bechada Machta Machtino. So he says, look, just because you learn one rule in treifus, doesn't mean all of a sudden you become such an expert in treifus. We said it over here regarding stomachs 2 and 3, that doesn't necessarily translate to stomach 1 and 2. So Hechad Itmar, Itmar, Hechad Lo Itmar, Lo Itmar. Look, where we said it, and where we did not say it, so you just simply cannot transpose the halacha. Continuing in the Gemara, Heid Nasan Barshila, Rav Tabchai de Tzipori. So the chief Shochet of Tzipori says, Lefnei Rebbe, in front of Rebbe, Ashnei b'nei ha'mai, ma'yotzim b'nei behema. So let's say you have two intestines coming out of the cave. The cave is the fourth stomach of the animal, and that's where digestion occurs. And instead of one tube, one intestinal tube coming out of it, you have two tubes coming out of it. So such an animal would in fact be treif. Again, based on the rule that we just learned of yeser kenato, two now becomes zero. Uchenegdem ba'ov kshera. So, however, if such an event, if such a phenomena would occur in a bird, so that would be kosher by bird. That's only true if it's going out literally of two different points of the keva. However, aval yotzim b'makom echad v'kalin. However, if they come out basically at the same point and there is a point of connection, ad ke'etzba k'shera. And if that connection occurs at 1 inch, so then it's going to be kosher. Now, of course, the question: 1 inch from where? That's the Gemara. That's the next Gemara. Pligi b'rav ami b'rav asi chanamar huda hadre v'arve. So that means that at any point in time, it connects. These two GI tracts end up connecting one to another. V'chanamar afagav d'lo hadre v'arve. And the other says, no, even if they don't get back together. Bishlam l'man d'amar huda hadre v'arve hainu diktani ad ke'etzba. So the Gemara says, look, if it comes back to these two tracks now connecting at one point, so then I understand the expression ad ke'etzba, because it means that as long as you are an inch away, even from the colon, as long as these two tracks end up connecting, so then it's one. Elamanda ma'afak avdala hajavarvi my ad ke'etzba melamata. I'm sorry, I said the pshat wrong. Let me revisit that previous line. Previously, we meant ad ke'etzba means close to the keva, meaning if they do connect immediately after the keva. Now I say immediately, I mean within one inch of the keva, so then it's going to be kosher. What about the other manda amar? The other manda amar will say, look, even if they don't connect post keva, but as long as they connect anywhere before the end, here I mean that literally, so then the animal would be kosher. And let's finish up to the next Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda amar im nitla anotza psula. Okay, we're talking about now the notes are being missing. The notes that is the soft feathers in the front of the bird, right? What they call it, down. So these feathers, Rashi described them as not having a kana. They don't have the, quill. But they don't have the stem. These are the soft feathers, and if it's missing, so Rav Yehuda Rav Mishnah says that such an animal will be pasul. I'm Rav Yochanan, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yishmael, I'm Dever Echad. Rav Yochanan says that we can align together the sheets of Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yehuda Hadaman, Rabbi Yishmael Dinan, Rabbi Yishmael Omer Anotz Mitzarefes. Rabbi Yishmael says that in the halachas of Pigol, so the notza, the front skin of the bird, is going to be mitzaref, which means to say that he considers it as a edible portion of the bird, and so therefore, regarding pigol, it can contribute. Remember, for pigol, you need a machshava of eating a consumable portion, a kezias of it, either chutzuzman or chutzum kamo. And so Rabbi Yishmael says that we can include even the front skin of the animal. So Amar Rava Demalohi, now Rava says, now, although the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yishmael sound similar, but they're not necessarily. Rabbi Yehuda was only making a statement regarding tarfus, meaning that it may be edible, but still the animal is going to be treif because there's no longer hagana, there's nothing to protect the front of the bird. So avalinyan ifluge karabban tzvirle, but they can agree with the chachamim that it's not necessarily an edible portion of the bird. V'adkan lo kama Rabbi Yishmael asam alalinyan ifgule avalinyan treifa igunula megan. And as far as Rabbi Yishmael is concerned, so as far as pigle is concerned, so fine, it's subject to pigle. But as far as treifa is concerned, so it doesn't necessarily provide any extra protection, and so therefore the bird can in fact be kosher even if it's missing that portion. Okay, so the two machloksim are not necessarily connected. Think about, for today's daf, as we have now concluded, think about the number of major topics that were discussed in today's daf. We discussed about whether a trefa is yoletus or a no yoletus, right? And if we have a suffix trefa and it gave birth, is that proof positive that it is or is not a trefa? Major machloks amongst the Amorayim. We talked about uber yerech imo or uber lav yerech imo hi. Whether or not a fetus developing inside of its mother is considered an appendage of the mother or an independent entity halachically. We talked about the halachas of worms developing inside of a fruit, whether they developed either attached or detached, and the halachas of the consumption of such a worm. We talked about an animal that has extra appendages. And how do we look at Yeser? And the Gemara says that Yeser is Kenatal, and Rashi's understanding of Yeser Kenatal. That really what you're doing is you are taking away one of its, not the extra appendage, but that extra appendage takes away from the one of its already existing appendages. That's Rashi's understanding. So many major topics in today's daf.